Let us pray. Risen and ascending One, we stand watching as You go before us, rising higher and higher, and we are filled with mixed emotions. We are joyful and we are terrified, praising yet hesitant. Fill our hearts with hope as we move forward into the unknown, and give us courage to do so, knowing that even as You go, Your Spirit is ever with us. Amen. So maybe you know how this is going to end, but look, up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's... No. I mean, it's always Jesus. But no, in this case, it actually was Superman. And I, Superman. Look up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's
Superman.
Gosh, people. If you haven't gotten the message yet, maybe you're new here today, but if you haven't gotten the message yet, both Sarah and I have a strong love for superheroes. They're stories of those who embody the good that we wish that we could live into. They don't ignore justice. Indeed, they meet injustice face to face. They often do it at great risk to themselves and their own lives. Well, most of them do anyway. Now, nothing against Sarah and her love of Superman, but unlike most other heroes, he's not really at risk when he fights injustice in the world. Sure, there's that whole kryptonite thing, but for the most part, those things that trouble other heroes like bullets, bombs, and ballistic bullies bounce right off him. Literally bounce right off him. So what am I complaining about? I mean, a hero's a hero, right? I guess my problem isn't really with Supes. He can't help who he is. He can't help how the radiation of our yellow sun affects his unique Kryptonian physiology. What bothers me is how we, humankind, are often portrayed in these stories of his great deeds. We are often portrayed as bumbling and ineffective in caring for ourselves and for our world. And often, the only capable member of our species ends up being the villain. It suggests that when we're given power, we are ultimately broken, ultimately corruptible. That without a man with a big S on his chest, we are totally lost. Much of the time, humanity, in these comic books, stares up at the sky and waits for him to save them from their own carelessness. Staring up at the sky and waiting. We've got other stories like that. Stories that tell of a great man with great power, incorruptible by nature. He healed and fed and saved many. Ultimately, he did what none other could do. He conquered death itself. Now, I don't often like to draw comparisons between a fictional character or hero like Superman and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But in this instance, it felt okay. Because rather than focus on what is the same about them, I want to look at the ways that they're different and why that difference is significant. Like the hero in so many comic books, the end of the Gospel of Luke and the beginning of the book of the Acts of the Apostles, we're presented with an image of Christ rising up into the sky as his disciples look on. How long do you suppose they stood there before heading back to Jerusalem? How long do you think they stood there watching the skies, waiting? How long might they have stood there waiting patiently, impatiently, saying to one another, "He's coming back. He's coming back," right? Knowing the roller coaster that Jesus had taken his followers on, it would be no surprise if they stood there for long moments, waiting for yet another triumphant return. I mean, this guy came back from the dead. He came back to reassure us, to teach us, to lead us. Surely, this can't be how it ends. How long before somebody said with a lump in their throat, I don't think he's coming back this time? Can you imagine the up and the down of emotions that the disciples would have gone through in these past weeks, these past month? And worst of all, just before he left, just before he rises into the sky, he gives a great commission to go out and tell people of this amazing, some might say crazy, story. Preaching forgiveness of sins as they go. But how can we? They might have asked themselves. How can we without our brother, our leader, our hero, Christ, to show us the way? How long do you suppose they stood in that clearing, looking up to the sky, perhaps getting excited by every passing bird, waiting for Christ to come back? Have we changed much since the days of the disciples? How often are we faced with a task that seems too big for us to do alone? How often do we call on God to be with us, to give us strength, courage, wisdom, patience in those times? How often do we look up, waiting, wondering, when will we be saved? When will God intervene and make all that's wrong with the world right? When will our Superman come and save us? See, that's the big difference between the Son of God and the Son of Krypton. Jesus came to us with unbelievable power and knowledge, but in his time here, he taught more than he healed. And even in most of those healing stories, we hear that it's the faith of the person being healed that made them well. It's their inner strength, their inner belief in the divine. Jesus comes. He lives among us. He teaches us. He conquers death for us and then leaves us. But not before giving us work to do, and hard work. Work that would require not just one person, but the shared work of all of God's children. The difference between Christ and Kryptonian is that Jesus didn't return every time we were in trouble. Imagine for a moment that Christ didn't ascend. That he did not, in fact, leave his disciples. That like the man of steel, he stuck around to clean up after us. What would that world have been like? Not just the world of the disciples, because it would have been our world eventually too. Christ in his resurrection gains eternal life and would have been able to lead his people through generations. Imagine the Prince of Peace shaping the world in the good image that God, our Maker, intended. What would that world be like? How many times have we looked at a situation, a terrible situation, and wondered, where's God here? Why would God let this happen? We ask these questions when we see war, when we see death. We ask these questions when fires rage across a province filled with people that we love. We ask these questions when we lose people that we love. Why would God let this happen to the world? Why would God let this happen to me? If only Christ had stayed and not ascended into heaven. If only he were here, maybe with a cape. Maybe none of this bad stuff would have happened in the first place. But would you have wanted that world? Sure, there would have been peace, and Jesus would be there with us, guiding our every footstep. But what would the cost have been for that kind of world? Freedom. Even though it would have been a world of peace and harmony for all, it would not have been a world of our choosing, but rather one thrust upon us. It is our freedom, our free will that defines us. If we cannot choose how to live, what is the point of life? And we talked about this last week. Does anybody remember what I said in the story time last week? I had two hands behind my back, I've got a chocolate bar in each one. You can have the one on my left hand. You can't have the one on the right. You guaranteed a chocolate bar if you take the one on my left. And then one of the kids very appropriately said, well, what's in your right hand? We had that perfect world in the garden, and we rejected it because it wasn't a world of our choosing. Now, maybe I should be jumping at the chance to have God make all my choices for me. But Christ ascended. He did ascend. He left. Christ left to make room for us to act, to choose, to live into the calling, the mission that He gave us, to make mistakes and to learn from them. If Jesus had stayed among His disciples, they would have been as children, eternally led by their parent, always deferring to His authority, never choosing for themselves. But choice is why we are here. We rebel when choice is taken away, whether it's divinely taken or stripped from us by human hands. And it's not because we're inherently evil, like some might suggest, but because we are made, each one of us, in the image of God. And what did God do? God created. God chose. And just like our Maker, we yearn to choose. We yearn to create. And Christ knew that. He knew that despite our great ability to do harm to one another, to destroy, we have within us a greater ability to love one another, to create. And the joy in all this is that Christ only left us in body. He sent His Holy Spirit, an unseeable, unknowable force to guide us. In essence, He gifted us with His power. But in all things, we are afforded the choice of whether or not to follow that guide, to use that power for the betterment of the world or not. And if we do that, if we as individuals, as a whole people, continue to ignore the Spirit that whispers the path in our ear, then yes, we'll continually choose a world of war and pain. But if we choose to answer the call of the Holy Spirit in all things, to act when we see suffering, to heal when we see pain, then we will be working for the kingdom of peace, creating that kingdom ourselves, choosing that kingdom ourselves, that kingdom that Christ always said is just around the corner. This is why God doesn't force us to remain in the garden. And this is why Christ ascended, that we might truly choose the kingdom and build it, not for or by ourselves, but with God. Look at it this way. For those of you who are parents out there, moms in particular, because it's your day, how do you feel when you have to continually tell your kids to do the right thing? Over and over and over again, you have to tell your kids to do the right thing. How do you feel?
Frustrated.
Tired, exhausted, like you just want to lay down. But how do you feel when that same child that frustrated you to no end chooses to do the right thing on their own without your prompting? How do you feel about that?
Proud.
Pretty awesome, right? Something that Amy does when she gets a treat for doing something good, like, you know those rocket candies? Well, she got two one day, and didn't she go in and give one to Jacob? No, no asking. Jacob didn't even ask for it. She just gave it to him. So if you feel proud when, after so many months and years of telling your kids to do the right thing, they actually choose it on their own, it's overwhelming when we do something good. Not because we're told to, but because we choose to. In the same way, as parents, it would be easy for us to step in and shelter our children from the world. To make, you know, hard surfaces soft. To blunt the sharpness of the world. But we as parents often let our children fall down. Both that they might learn how to get back up. and to avoid that same fall later. We teach our children to a point, and then, with hearts heavy, we gift them with the world, hoping that what we taught them will guide them through it. Now, even as we look off to the heavens and wait on Christ's return, we do so in a different way from our comic book counterparts. Where they watch and wait for a Savior to come and fix the world, we watch and work to make ready our world for the return of our Savior. That is our task, to ready the world that it might be ready for Christ. So to paraphrase the words of those robed men from the book of Acts of the Apostles, what are we waiting for? Let us go and do good in this world. Let us choose the good in every path that we take. Let us go and be builders of the kingdom together. Amen. Our next hymn of praise